Isn't that a great selection of texts that makes almost no sense when you put them all together? Here we are in the Sunday of joy, and so we have out of Isaiah, we have, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Okay, that seems to make sense. That seems to fit. From Zephaniah we have, oh my goodness, we've got joy all over the place. We have good things coming. Philippians, sometimes referred to as the joyful book all by itself because it's such a constant theme in there, where we have rejoice in the Lord always or be filled with joy. And then we have, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" What a peculiar collection. And as I've said before, the lectionary certainly isn't sacred in any sense. It's not ordained by God that we read these particular texts in this particular combination, but there's something to be said about connecting with the lectionary as it connects us with the larger church, and to see if these very wise people who put this together might have something in mind that we can benefit from. And one of the things that I see out of these texts as they come together is an opportunity to look at the difference, if there is one, between joy or happiness. And just so you know, I think there is one. The sermon title, "Joy or Happiness," is just a way for us to begin thinking about what they might mean and what might be going on in these texts. I've heard it said, if you want to draw a distinction between the two, that happiness is dependent on our current circumstances. We are happy because of the things that are around us. We are happy on our birthday because we are getting presents. We're getting cake. Some of us are happy because we're the center of attention. For some of us, that's the worst part of the birthday. One of Heather's nieces, I don't know how old she was before she stopped crying and telling people to stop singing Happy Birthday because she hated that focus. So, you know, there isn't all happiness, I guess. But happiness depends on what's going on with us and around us. And there's nothing wrong with happiness. Happiness is a wonderful thing. We should try and enjoy it when it's our lot, and we should try to increase happiness in those people around us. But if people have said that happiness is dependent on our current and maybe our external circumstances, joy is an inward reality and is indifferent to current circumstances. Joy is something that is different than happiness. They're similar, and often when we are joyful, we are happy at the same time. But we don't have to have one to have the other. You can be happy even though you're miserable because you're at a movie that's making you laugh. It's taking you out of yourself for a while, and that's a wonderful thing. That's one of the best uses of comedy there is. But the flip side is also true. You can be joyful when your external circumstances are not at all good. Paul talks about that when he talks about rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And then goes on and says some other things, you know, that your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Don't be anxious, and give some more advice there. But when Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always, we need to remember that this is Paul speaking here. This is someone who was well acquainted with a life that didn't have everything in it that you would conventionally want. That litany of things that he's experienced that we read in Corinthians lets us know that Paul went through a lot of very unpleasant things. Being beaten, being stoned, almost dying, being shipwrecked. And yet, Paul, even from that perspective, is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Be filled with joy always. He doesn't say be happy. Happiness was a concept that existed in the time of Paul. It's not that he didn't know what happiness was, that we somehow invented it subsequent to Paul. No, Paul is getting at something that is a theme through Scripture. And the theme of joy is an interesting one. Because the theme of joy is frequently spoken to people in the midst of crisis. And it's joy in light of a future hope or in a hope in the future, if you wish. Joy is something that's based not on what's happening around us, but in the fundamental reality of who God is and who we are in relationship with God. Joy is something that allows us to maintain that joy even when we are surrounded by things that make us unhappy. We're never called in Scripture to say something that's bad is good. Some people have misinterpreted or misunderstood these texts to think that, well, if you're a Christian person, if you have a relationship with God through Jesus, you never admit that things are bad and that you are always saying, well, that's good, even when they're not. Being a refugee is not good. Armed conflict where people are hurt and killed is not good. It's not good. It doesn't make us happy. It shouldn't make us happy. It should make us sad. When people die, we grieve because we've suffered a significant, a fundamental, and a real loss. And Scripture never tells us that we should ignore the reality of those darker things in the world and in our own lives. We're told to grieve with those who grieve. We're not told that when somebody says they're grieving, you should tell them that they shouldn't, or that they should be happy in the midst of grief. But what we're exhorted in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of places is to maintain this sense of joy, even in the midst of unhappiness, even in the midst of things that are going wrong. Well, what can that joy be? Well, there's lots of definitions of joy of one kind or another, and you're welcome to go and find some that connect with you. When we think of the feeling of joy, that's something a little bit different, and that for some of us it's that sort of wellspring. C.S. Lewis talked about it as a wellspring of almost longing for something that wasn't there. And this sense of longing for something that he couldn't even identify yet was part of what moved him in his transition from someone who didn't believe to someone who believed. But that's the feeling of joy rather than that larger sense of what we see over and over again. When God tells us that we will be joyful and that we should be joyful now because of what will happen, he's not saying that what is happening now is irrelevant or meaningless. He's saying that our joy comes from a confidence in God who will do what God says he will do. Joy comes from a deep and unbreakable sense that what needs to happen will. It's very closely related to hope. Hope is that sense that what we need to happen will happen. It's not here yet, but it will come. And joy comes from that same sense, that same understanding, that even though there are many things in our lives that make us unhappy, whether they're the trivial and temporary, you went to go and pick up that last stocking stuffer and it was sold out, you're unhappy about that, to the profound, when we lose someone we value through death, or they move away, or when a relationship is broken and we're not sure why, we're unhappy then, and we should be unhappy about those things. But we can still be joyful in the midst of that. We can be joyful, as Paul says, in all things. Not because our current circumstances make us happy, but because we know beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt that this will make sense. That what makes us unhappy has meaning. And that one day we will be in a place where happiness is all. But that's a future reality. It's not a current reality. And if we focus on the current reality without joy, we're going to be very depressed people. If we depend on current circumstances, our own and in the larger picture of the world, for our sense of hope and optimism and belief in the future, I think we're sunk. Because even when my life's going pretty well, people that are close to me are having things that aren't going well. And when I look at the larger picture of the world with so many things that are amiss, if that's what I needed to keep me going, I don't think it's enough. But joy, but being convinced in my inner being that everything that happens today will one day be redeemed, that my current unhappiness will one day be replaced with things that make sense, that gives me hope. Joy and hope, I think, are inextricably linked. I think without one, I'm not sure you can have the other. And I like the fact that in this, the beginning of the church year, as we prepare for Christmas, we have an opportunity to think about both of them. We have a Sunday of hope and a Sunday of joy. And this Sunday reminds us that even though we look around and if we're looking for things that aren't right, we'll find them without any trouble at all in our own homes and certainly beyond. But if we look past those, not ignoring them, not pretending they're not there, but we look past those to the promises of God, who says that your joy will be complete. He says that I will come and make things make sense. Becomes a whole lot easier to live through those things that we wouldn't choose. I sometimes wonder why John wasn't more nuanced or more complete in when people are asking him, well, what should we do? But then I look at that and I think John is saying that until all things make sense, you need to do what you can do. These are wonderfully concrete things that he tells these people. If you have more than you need, give to those who need it. If you have a job, do it well. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't do the things you shouldn't do. Because we're not called to fix everything. We're not called to bring this culmination of joy. That's God. And God will do it. But as we wait for that day, we do what we can make a difference in the world around us and in the people around us. And we do it knowing that one day it will be done perfectly. But until that time, we have hope. And hope manifests itself within us in joy. Because joy is what allows us to hope, even in the bleak midwinter that we're going to sing about in a moment. Joy is something that comes with that relationship with God through Jesus that we have. It gives us a confidence in the future that is based on something real, not just denial, not just saying, oh, what's bad is really good, but instead saying that, yes, what's bad is bad. But eventually, when the time is right, all will be made good. And that knowledge of knowing that it's on its way gives us joy. We can be joyful in the midst of unhappiness and happiness because joy goes through them all. Because it's based not on what we're feeling or even what we're thinking. It's based on the reality of our relationship with God through Jesus. God who has promised that bad doesn't get the last word. That when the time is right, all will be joy and happiness. And we'll never have to choose again. Amen.